This is the Frank and Friends Show. Hi there, I'm Frank Murphy.
And I'm Mitch Moore.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
I'm delighted.
I am delighted.
I am always ecstatic when somebody, although a bit surprised, but very happy, pleased, yet I'd say 98% pleased and 2% shocked when somebody wants to come back for a second visit. And especially so soon, the episode had barely posted on YouTube.
Yes.
And you're like, I need to fix something.
Well, kind of fix. And nothing really glaring, but just some tweaks I wanted to make after watching my first appearance on the show.
Well, I watched it too, and I thought to myself, how did I think? I mean, I'm thinking, here he is. He's the actor, Mitch Moore. He's like, I'm in two plays. I'm like, oh, but you were in more than that.
I was only in two with Flying
Angle. That I saw.
That you saw.
So I'm assuming that you're in multiple, all the ones that I didn't see. I think, Mitch must have been in that too.
No, I really, my stage work, I live in Blount County, and I did a lot of work with Foothills community players. Back in the, when they restarted, they started up around 08. So from 08 to 2012, right. I was very active with them.
So I'm not too far off.
Not too far off.
Okay.
But since 2012, I've really been more selective about the stage productions that I do.
Well, you do a good job, so I hope that you're in something again soon.
I'm sure at some point.
Much like I hope that you will buy one of our fabulous items, perhaps the pint glass has arrived since Mitch's last visit.
Yes.
And I think they're lovely. They're actually better than I even dreamed. I'm going to eventually wash them. I haven't yet. But I also was going to, I don't know what I'm going to drink out of it yet, waiting for the occasion so that I'll wash them and then drink out of freshly washed glasses.
Sure, sure.
Why wash them now if I'm going to have to just do it again anyway?
In real life, I drink out of pint glasses way more than I drink out of coffee mugs.
Oh.
Just leave that to,
well, then
do with that what you will.
All right, well, so next time what we can do is I can put the coffee mugs back on the shelf. These are product placements so that you'll buy the merch at frankandfriendsshow.com/store. Much like we want you to go to YouTube and please subscribe and listen on the audio podcast apps, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it only was two episodes ago that you were here. I have Sarah Roberto, and I just did one of those ones where I probably should have told her, well, in hindsight, I can tell I'd say anything. I should have said, bring a second outfit, and at some point we'll pause, you change, I'll go upstairs and change, and we'll pretend it's another day. But we just went through. We talked for like an hour because we had a lot of catching up to do because she had canceled on me a couple of times because of taking care of her dad.
Yeah.
And, you know, then I think I've... This is all part of my problem, is then I don't invite anybody else. I just sit there and go, I was supposed to be doing an episode with Sarah or somebody. And it's unfortunate for me. But, you know, no one else cares because I'm the only one. But you, however, are here. You're back. And you've noticed things that maybe I can learn from you.
Probably not.
Well, don't be too rash.
Well, my wife noticed, we both agreed that my shirt that I wore last time was a little too dark, and I was a little...
Look at me, I wore a dark shirt because you were coming.
But it's got a pattern, so I wore a little lighter color to just kind of pop
good.
Against the background a little bit more.
Good, good.
And the other thing...
I could throw up a few more lights. I mean, Becca gave me a ring light I could have put up.
Yeah.
All right, I'll try that. You think, as a filmmaker, would you recommend more light?
You can always just try it, and that's just the best way to find out. Just try it, light it before we
roll. I won't do it now because we've already started.
But maybe next time we'll just see how it looks, and a lot of trial and error.
Good plan. All right, so the lighter...
The lighter shade, so last time I was here, we were... Frank was setting up the camera to get us framed properly, because there's a thought process to this.
Yeah.
And so I noticed looking at this little, we have a little tablet here that we use as a monitor to see ourselves. So I noticed that it looked like I was, the lens or the camera was making me look like I was leaning in toward you.
Oh.
So to compensate, during the episode, I thought, well, I'll just lean a little bit to the left to try to neutralize it. Well, I watched the episode, and of course, I'm sitting here leaning like this the whole time, like a doofus. So I'm like, okay, I didn't
pick up on that. That's funny.
I guess I didn't have to overcompensate. That's the story of my life, overcompensation.
It's probably the angle of the monitor. And the hardest thing for me is, and this, if you watch previous episodes, you'll see me looking at the monitor too much. Like even when I hold up the stuff, I could just hold it to the camera.
Yeah.
But instead, I'm looking at the monitor to see where I'm holding it. It's very tempting. And I have it right here. because it also has the elapsed time. It's got the audio on there. It's got the battery life. It's got all the really all I need is that top line.
Yeah.
I don't need to look at us. But it also gives me confidence that the show's happening and that we're doing one.
It's almost like you're afraid you're going to look down and suddenly you're wearing, like, moose antlers.
Yeah.
Oh, how did those get there?
Well, it's like, what's it, like a TikTok or Snapchat filter? Yeah.
Right.
Which I don't care for those. I don't like it when people share those pictures on Facebook that with the dog noses or whatever it is they do.
Yeah.
It bothers me.
I'm not sure what we're trying to prove at this point.
Good point. I get a point. So, all right. So, step one is don't lean.
Don't lean.
Wear a lighter color.
Wear a lighter color. And this isn't really a tweak. This is just something I noticed that, you know, a lot of people, I posted on social media that I was going to be on the show. And people would say, what's the name of the show? And I'd say, Frank and Friends. And I noticed that the more I said the name of the show,
the less interested they were?
No. The more it started to sound in my head like Frank and Friends.
Yeah. Yeah,
like
exactly.
Like if you dug up dead bodies and took their parts, stitched them together, reanimated them with electricity to create friends, they would be Franken-friends.
They would be. I love it. In fact,
and so you'll never hear that the same now.
No, that'll be like the name of the Halloween episode.
That and
the show is sponsored by Decomposing Bodies. The show is sponsored by Dr. Bass and the Body Farm.
Well, that's true.
So I don't mind it
is.
At all. And I also know all the years I did Einstein Simplified, the guys would make a similar joke because it's like, who do we have in this scene? Oh, it's going to be Paul Simmons and me. But instead of saying Paul and Frank, they would always say Frank and Paul.
Frank and Paul.
Or Frank and Greg. Or
pick Frank.
Yeah.
Improv good.
So, right. So we would all do that.
Okay, and so I didn't invent this.
I like that you've picked up on it.
Yeah.
In fact, I'll ask you, you know, since you're here, what was the name of the monster in Mary Shelley's book?
He was just called the monster, wasn't he?
Well, technically, Dr. Frankenstein called him Adam, I believe. In the book.
See, and I read the book like just a few years ago.
In the movie, he was probably the monster, but
I think he was credited in the original. I can't remember the director's name, Clive
yes.
Owen, something like. Anyway, I think he was credited and Boris Karloff as the monster.
I think in the very, very early versions, didn't they put the monster as itself or some weird thing? Or maybe that's a different one. There's some movie where the actor didn't even get credit for playing a monster. It could have been Frankenstein, could have been Dracula. It wasn't Dracula, but could have been The Mummy, one of those old-timey movies. And then they fought it and redid the credits with the actor's name in it.
Huh.
But that's just some trivia that I'll have to research.
Yeah.
But for Scholars Bowl, I did look up and research that the monster was called Adam. And there was like a 1970s or 80s TV version of Frankenstein with, I think, like Christopher Sarandon as the...
I remember that, yeah.
That one, I think, is where I first picked up on the monster's name is supposed to be Adam because Dr. Frankenstein has a god complex and is creating the new Adam.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't recall that from the book. That may have been in there, but...
I didn't make it up, and I'm pretty sure it's a Mary Shelley creation.
This is a quick sort of tangent, but you brought it up.
That's the name of the show.
You brought
quick
it
sort
up.
Of tangent.
Who writes the questions for Scholars Bowl?
Well, would you like to write one?
Sure.
I mean, you know, I can't pay you to write it, but I can give you, put your name in the credits.
No, I don't need the credits. I just think it'd be fun.
If you look at the list of people listed as writers on the show, are mostly my friends who have sent me questions.
I had no idea. I thought you guys had like a crack team of trivia researchers.
The show's been on for 40 years.
Right.
So there is a pile of... I can show you after we're done here. I can show you.
So President Reagan is talking. Is it that kind of aged question?
Yes, and some of them are aged because you can tell. I can tell by holding the piece of paper in my hand that this is a Xerox of a Xerox of a Xerox,
right.
And that the original was typed on an IBM Selectric typewriter.
Wow!
With the larger font that we used in broadcasting. Another one you can tell is on a dot matrix printer because you can see the shadow of the tractor feed along the side. So. My wife, I used to complain, and I know I've told you the story on the podcast maybe before, but get ready, here it comes again. I used to complain about the quality of the questions because some of them were written in these big, too many words. You know, that, hey, everybody, get ready, get your pencils ready. I'm going to ask a question about math. I don't need any of that. Here's a math question. Let's get to them faster. I like doing fast, fast, fast.
Sure, yeah.
I want to burn through as many questions in a game as possible, even though it creates more work on the back end. I think it makes for a better show. For me to go tearing, flying through these questions, you know, to get to, I mean, theoretically, 100 questions in a show if we do 25 toss-ups and bonuses per half. I don't think we ever really get that high, but it gets close. So I would complain about the questions, the pieces of paper. They're hard to read. They had scribble on them. They were poorly Xeroxed or they were poorly worded. So a couple of years ago, they said to me, well, why don't you just do it? you know what happens, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so that's exactly what happened is I said, okay. And my wife and I really, both of us, we sit here at this table. She's at that end, I'm at that end, with laptops ablaze. And we're taking the old questions off of paper and we've typed them into a computer database. I guess it's an Excel spreadsheet, but we make it into a database. And we rewrite them as we go, or if they're okay as is, well, then we let it be. You just, some of the ones are still in it, but the kids have learned these old questions. They're watching the shows online now.
Ah.
It used to be they were on the air one and done.
Right.
You know, they would air once, maybe twice, and then that was it. And now, in the past 8 years that I've been on the show, they started repeating it every day. So every day there's an episode, whether it's a new one or an old one. And then, I guess about seven, eight years ago, they started posting the episodes online. Once it went to HD, the year I joined, it was the year they went from SD to HD. So there's seven or so seasons of it available online. So the kids are out there in the parking lot before we're taping the shows, and they are watching old episodes and quizzing each other. So okay. When I start to launch into some question that they all have heard before, they're ringing in before I'm done.
Wow. Is that cheating, Frank?
It's studying.
It's studying.
Okay. It's studying. So there's one it just aired the other day where I took this question. I've been in the game for years. You know, what is the, translate the Spanish word sombrero? And the kid rings in and says, hat. And I said, let me finish the question for the other team. Into French.
Ah.
And the answer is now with chapeau.
Right.
So I did a couple of the, I wasn't trying to be a total jerk, but
hey,
I was trying to say, let's listen to the whole question because
right.
I'm in the process of rewording them as best I can. But basically, I'm now the head writer of the show.
Okay.
And people submit questions, but ultimately, even the ones that, even when my wife will type up a whole game for me, I still look at it and I go through it. And if I want to change something, because it's probably for pronunciation reasons, I might want to rewrite something because it's too hard. It would be a tongue twister to say all those S's in that quick a time. Or, I might rewrite a sentence for any number of reasons, but I have to prove it. I have to look, Google it, make sure, and, not just Google, I have to look at other websites to make sure I'm still have pinned the question so that there's only one right answer. And then we send it to judges.
Okay.
We then review it, and they're supposed to catch mistakes, and they still slip through. I mean, when you see a mistake on Scholars Bowl, contact me, and I will fix it for next year. I mean, not much I can do about it for this past year, but.
So when you're writing questions for high school
students,
but they're challenging to them, so these are, you're not necessarily having to write to an age, are you? Aren't you just kind of pretty much just writing general
trivia? Well, I've got two audiences in mind. I've got the high school kids who are playing the show and also the people at home who are watching the show who tend to be older than me from what I've learned. No offense, viewers.
But, how could that be offensive?
But my demo, my key demo, I'd say, would be, septuagenarians. They seem to love it. And
so you're aiming for that sweet spot between 17 and 77. 70.
Yeah.
Okay. So 47.
It does sound like a Jennifer Garner sequel. Yeah. 17 going on 70.
77, yeah.
Well, you're right. In theory, we're looking at things that would be in the high school curriculum. But the other challenge that I find is we have such a diverse slate of high schools between public, private, and between Knox County and Merrillville and Blount County and Anderson County and all going all the way up to Harrogate. And you've got private schools, you've got home schools, and you've got public, private, parochial home schools, all of them. And they all tend to do well, but if you geared all the questions toward the Knox County curriculum, you would be excluding a lot of the private schools. And if you geared the questions toward the private schools, then you're probably excluding some of the public. So, You know, it's going to be a little bit of both. Yeah. When I'm asking a question about foreign languages or about Latin, which we do ask about, there are some schools that they have an advantage because their schools, their kids take Latin class. You know, web specifically, the coach of the web team is the Latin teacher.
Okay.
But other times, you know, I love the science and the STEM type questions because those are pretty much even, everybody seems to know those. It's when you get into some of the more specific categories, but like a little religion's a good one, because sometimes the kids from the Christian schools have no idea when I'm asking about the other world religions. But yeah. You see some kid who, actually I had this one kid, he was a champion last year before last, and or in 2023, and I'm pretty sure his family is from India and that they're Hindu. That's what I remember anyway. He's either I'm pretty sure they're Hindu. So he missed a Hindu question.
Oh,
I teased
no.
him about it, saying, your dad's going to be mad about that. He's like, oh. But also, I knew that I could get away with teasing him.
Sure.
I wouldn't do it. When you see me tease a kid on the show, it's because before we started taping, they were playing along. You know, they were teasing me back or
right.
something like that.
Well, I was curious. I didn't mean to hijack the whole
I loved it.
Agenda
I'm
for the
sorry.
Morning.
No, it's totally
afternoon.
Fine. Well, it depends when you watch it. This is the great thing about this show is you can make it a morning show. You can make it an afternoon show.
Yeah.
This might be a good time to talk about some dead bodies, though, before we get into some of the other topics for the day, because we did mention bonezones.com. Don't forget the S. And I think, what is that? I think by the time this one shows, I will have just completed my speech in Teleco to the women's group down there.
It went well, didn't it?
It was so good.
Didn't it go great?
So
that speech to the women at Teleco, I think you killed it, Frank.
Well, the lady in charge, the lady who booked me, actually asked me to do the same speech that she had seen me do in Von Ohr. So it went so well there that it, you know, it's going to be basically the same. I told her I don't have a script. I speak extemporaneously based on the same slides, the same source material. So it'll be similar, but, you know, we can throw in different questions and answers and whatnot. And the team from Bone Zones was there selling fabulous merchandise with Dr. Bill Bass's name on it. I think this is the long sleeve tee, but now that it's springtime, we'll highlight the short sleeve. Of course, you might want to get one in bright orange to cheer on the Vols, you know, since Dr. Bass was at UT for so long. He's doing well. I do need to go catch up with him and have lunch. I think that'll be something I do after Easter. And then the books, the speeches that I give are each based on a different book.
Mm-hmm.
So the one at the Teleco is based on the nonfiction Death's Acre mainly. Carved in Bone, which is a fiction book. Or there's other cases that pop up in the books. Like if you wanted to hear about the Zuman Husky murders, well, those turn up in one of the nonfiction books, but also in three of the fiction books, they kind of do a version of that, which I think is fascinating. The Benton fireworks explosion, I can, you know, do that. That was probably 40 years ago. These guys had an illegal fireworks factory down in Benton, which is almost to Chattanooga. And they blew themselves up, and they blew themselves up. I mean, they were pieces everywhere. That's a good one. But you can read about all those in the books at bonezones.com. Don't forget the S. And the reason you go there to buy it is you get an autographed version of it by Dr. Bill Bass or any of the other fabulous merch you can find there. And we do appreciate their support. And I'm looking forward to doing more Bone Zones lectures in the near future.
I wonder if that was set to music, them blowing themselves up. Was it musically choreographed, or was it just, I guess you can't really plan for that, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think they intended to blow them. Based on where the main guy was found, I think he was surprised, I'm guessing. You know, but, and I can get into more disgusting detail should you have interest.
part of the
gross part of the story is, you know, Dr. Bass following the trail to find the other half of him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And the trail was his, intestines.
Wow.
Okay.
His entrails.
And there you go.
It was literally an entrail.
They became his outtrails. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, anyway, bonezones.com. Don't forget the S. So you mentioned when I talked about pint glasses that you normally drink out of pint glasses. Is it because you drink beer or you drink
I like beer, but when I drink water at home, you know, we just, this is sort of the default glass that we have.
And they're nice.
I drink water out of them. I drink, when I go out to restaurants, I drink beer out of that.
Well, I for some reason, I've been hung up on some old-timey beer jingles. And I don't know if you would know these ones, because I grew up in New York. And I watched the New York Mets games, or listened to the New York Mets games. And when other people say they've got a song stuck in their head, you know, I mean, obviously, my opera friends, they're rehearsing. They always have, they're thinking about a song that they're going to be doing. Or when my wife does the Knoxville Choral Society, she'll often have one of the tunes will linger with her for the rest of the week until they get to the next rehearsal where that's gone and they're now working on Verdi's Requiem. So, you know, the piece that I saw you at their concert, that was stuck with her for a while. And they were all talking about, oh, we'd love to do that one again because it's so fresh in their heads. But then she comes back from the first rehearsal for Verdi. She says, I think we sang this before. My muscle memory was kicking in. So I don't have that. I don't normally have songs stuck in my head. And in fact, when I'm listening to my own radio station, I get surprised all the time by the middles of songs. I'll hear something on the radio and I'll think, I have no idea what song this is. And it's some song from the mid 70s.
Okay.
And I'm like, I don't know this song at all until it gets to the part where, oh, I know the beginning and I know the end of that song, but I've never really listened to the middle of it. And that's most of my life with pop songs, is I don't listen to the middles of them because I've got something else to do.
Yeah, you're just too busy to get through that 3 minutes.
Some other thing, you know. I mean, I've listened to the first 20 seconds of it thousands of times to the point where I don't even need to look at the clock anymore. If I start the song and I know I've got to finish talking before they start singing, yeah, I've done it enough now. And when I was new in radio, I didn't believe that could happen. The old timers would tell me, I would ask them these questions. I'd sit and watch these great DJs. And I'd say, how do you know when to stop talking? And there's obviously a clock there, so they know it's 13 seconds, and the clock is counting from 0 to 13. And when it hits 13, you stop talking. In the old days, now in the nowadays, it goes the opposite. The clock starts at 13. It counts down to 0, but it's the same concept. And you can do it that way. But the guys who've been really experienced, they're like, well, I can just hear it. Because they're musical enough that they can hear the measures, hear the progression of the song to know that the intro part is over, so, and now they're going to sing.
You're talking about talking over the intro to a song and then stopping right when the first verse
Which
kicks
is
in.
Why that's the part of the songs that I know.
And okay,
I
also that makes sense.
And you also learn the endings of songs because you need to start the next thing. You know, if songs that end sharply or then cold, we call it, or verses fade out, you know, want to know where, at what point you're listening for the guy to finish a sentence or finish a thought so that you can start the next song and not make it sound awkward. So I know all that. And the beginnings and ends. But songs don't get stuck in my head for whatever reason, except lately, beer jingles from the New York Mets broadcasts of the 1960s are the songs that I keep when I'm just like humming to myself. I'll be brushing my teeth and I'll be like, well, I think of it like as with the New York Mets, right? Because I think they would advertise a lot on that, but it was a beer called Schaefer.
I used to drink Schaefer.
Okay.
When I was young and had no money.
Schaefer is the one beer to have when you're having more than one.
Okay.
The most refreshing flavor in this man's world. You know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So I try to figure out why that song is stuck in my head so much. I Googled that particular one. And the first thing that came up on YouTube was a black and white video, a TV commercial, I guess, of Louis Armstrong singing it and just singing it to the rafters. I mean, it sounds so great. You know, Schaefer is one beer to have. I mean, he's belting it. I'm like, no wonder I like the song.
Yeah.
It sounded great. But I also remember the barbershop quartet type jingle singers, you know?
Right.
And then there's another one. The official beer of the Mets was Rheingold. And I remember that one.
Okay.
A New York beer, I guess, you know? And then I also realized that, you know, my parents enjoyed a cocktail, and my grandparents. My grandmother at an antique store found me a clock from a bar, and I have it still somewhere. I should probably find it because it still works, and it has a light bulb inside. So when the bar is open, you pull on the chain at the bottom, and these two light bulbs in the back illuminate the clock, and it was a Ballantine beer clock.
Okay. Because
it was always time for Ballantine.
Okay.
So, and I had this probably, she probably gave that to me when I was, I don't know, 8, 9.
The beer clock.
Yeah. Because yeah. I would set it up in my room, and when it was time for a time change or any kind of update, I would get it so that the sweep second hand was at the top of the hour, and I would unplug it. And I would set everything for the exact top of the hour. I'd go down to the basement. I would turn off the circuit breaker to my room, go back upstairs and set all the clocks to exactly whatever time I wanted it to be, you know, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. And then I would go downstairs with the radio, and I would wait. And when the tone, the beep for the top of the hour started, I would turn the circuit breaker back onto my room, and all my clocks were now in synchronization.
Okay.
I was obsessed. I wanted to be on radio. I wanted to be a broadcaster. Wow. And all the clocks had to be synced.
Wow, that's pretty heavy. That's hardcore. That's hardcore.
Well, if you want to check the clock, we talked about the clocks last time.
No, I believe you. I believe you. I believe they're all set.
Just so.
That's funny.
But I don't generally... occasionally I'll get a hard cider when I'm out. I don't love beer, but these glasses also remind me of hard cider. But I think, like you, most of the time when you go to a restaurant, I probably could use some more water myself. I'll just get water at a restaurant, right?
Yeah, okay.
Without lemon. That drives me crazy. Like, who cares? But my wife likes it with lemon, and they're like, what about you? I said, I don't care, with or without.
I can't have. I can't have my water adulterated or tainted even by the former presence of a lemon wedge.
Why is that? Because I'm going to use this argument.
I don't like lemon flavored things. I don't like, I like lime. I love a squeeze of lime in water, but not lemon. Oh. So just, I don't, to me, you should have to ask for a lemon.
Yeah.
The default should be no lemon.
Correct.
And if you want a lemon, ask for a lemon.
And make sure bring it in a little dish.
But the default, not to mention there's all, countless millions of dollars lost in lemon waste.
Well, you know what I do with extra lemons is I use them, I wash my fingers with them.
Okay.
I do that. And then, I miss finger bowls. I would like hot towels and finger bowls.
When did you ever use finger, what do you mean you miss them? When did you actually use finger bowls that you're missing them?
Well, my parents used to take us to these nice restaurants.
What?
And
what?
My parents would take us to nice restaurants, and they would bring out little hot towels sometimes at the end, or little, you know, your little...
I'm just trying to imagine where your parents were taking you out to dining dinner.
Probably at the country club. Probably go there and have some kind of... I vaguely remember this, that yes. We had some... Maybe it wasn't a finger bowl, but I...
And were there men in tuxedos that brushed the crumbs out of your lap? Were they there too?
You know what they had was this metal, L-shaped metal that they would hide in the palm of their hand. And they would...
It's a crummer.
Yeah. Do you know what that is?
I know what a crummer is.
Oh, all right.
Jennifer and I were talking about, my wife, we were talking about crummers at dinner recently. We were saying, we've only been to one restaurant, and it was the original Foothills. Boy, we're way off track.
No, I love this.
We went to the original Foothills Milling restaurant when it was in Ware's Valley.
Oh, wow.
Many people may not remember that.
I do not.
It started out in Ware's Valley.
I've only been to the Merrillville, and it is so good.
It is good. And we went there to this first location, and the server had a crummer. And that's the first and only time I've ever seen a crummer
in use. We need more crummers. We need more
finger bowls.
And hot towels. Because I definitely remember a place where you'd eat like a lobster, and some places they bring you a moist towelette, right? But wherever it was we would go, they would have this little rolled up, smaller than
a hot
handkerchief.
Towel, yeah.
Yeah, you just use it to just wipe the goo off your hands, and it was nice.
Like Trader, like the old Polynesian restaurants, like Trader Vic's, restaurants from like the 60s and 50s, you could get a hot towel at the end.
Oh, yeah, I went to Trader Vic's on prom night, I recall. That was because those of us who were underage could still get drinks because the drinking age was 18. Nice. We're all in tuxedos and ball gowns, and we're just gonna pineapple juice, really, with a little bit of liquor in it, in an umbrella. But Trader Vic's, I went there. All right. Anyway, that's another topic.
So you brought up water.
Water. I guess that's water. H2O.
So I have a gripe. The two times I have done an episode here, I have arrived at Frank's house with leftovers. Yeah. This has become like a tradition. I always have lunch.
You're coming straight from lunch.
Coming straight from lunch. And
I'd say good for you, because I tend to overeat. And I don't always have leftovers. So I think the fact that you have leftovers shows that you didn't overeat. And I think that's good.
I can overeat, but okay. Today I didn't. So, but I went to Poke Works. I'm a big Poke fan.
It's nice.
And it's good
the
for
one on
you.
Cedar Bluff?
I went to the Poke Works on Cedar Bluff.
Because I got one over in Bearden, too.
So I ordered water, though.
Yeah.
And they give me this tiny little clear... Now, if you go into a fast food restaurant and order a soda,
yeah.
You'll get like a 20-gallon drum
yeah.
that you're waddling around with. And
oh, okay. And then some places give you a cup for water, which is...
But it's not even the regulation size soda cup. It's like they give you like the... It's like, okay, am I supposed to pee in this?
Oh, what that cat size.
It's the tiny, clear plastic cup. And you have
that's
to, of course, it's so small you have to go back 10 times.
Yeah.
To refill for water. I mean, I think that's discriminatory against those of us who would
water drinkers.
Rather not to drink water. Yeah.
Well, is it self-service on the water? Do you have to go?
Sometimes you have to go back up to the counter and let them refill the water. But
because one of my gripes is when I'll go, there's a burger place that I go to, usually get water, a lot of different places where, they'll give you a cup for water, and it's like maybe the size of a small soda or maybe a little less, but it's not the shot glass that you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, today it was like the wine glass you get at a theater opening.
Yeah, yeah, I've had those. Those are not good.
The little
But when you go to the self-service, you can't. It's hard to find the water because you have to read all the things.
It's the hidden button next to the root beer or the punch or
usually
nasty...
yes, usually it's the non-carbonated lemonade punch or even smart water, you know, pomegranate flavored smart water, but. My wife and I have figured out after, you know, a couple of years of getting burned by this, you have to find the water, push the thing, and then wait for, I don't know, at least 5, maybe 10 seconds, or else you're going to look in your cup and it's going to be pink or it's going to be yellow or it's going to be whatever color the other liquid coming out of that nozzle is.
Yeah, you got to purge the form, the
purge.
Other. You have to purge the offending liquid.
And I would think... I'm over here going to all this trouble wasting this water. I probably could have just had, you know, the pomegranate smart water that I didn't pay for, except I don't. I'm going to pay. Just take the cheap free water that I didn't, you know, that I'm supposed to be getting.
You're not trying to rip them off.
I'm not trying to, except that I'm wasting their water waiting for the thing to clear out. But if they had, I wish I could remember now which fast food restaurants have one that's just dedicated, just water. There's one or two.
Yeah.
It's rare that you'll have it. Where just it's the same as getting a soda. You just get water.
Well, Poke Works did have a dedicated water.
All right. Well, I'll tell the owners the next time I see the church.
Yeah, I just get so aggravated with the tiny cup.
I can see that. Especially if you have a spice, you know, if you get some spice on your food.
Oh, yeah.
They should serve milk is what they should serve. And so at places that are super spicy. Maybe
not with...
You know, Japanese or Hawaiian food, but I can see that with, you know, other like chili. If you're having hot chili, milk is a great option.
Right.
Anything you would put sour cream on to cool off.
Right.
Milk is. You ever judge a chili contest?
No.
They give you milk between. Okay. They give you crackers usually and milk, so you can get the taste of the first chili out of your mouth before you judge the second one, and so on and so on.
Yeah, that makes sense. I've heard milk is water doesn't cool your mouth if you have spice fire.
Yeah, something about the fat content of the milk. It just kind of like it. I don't know. It does a purge.
More purging.
It covers it up. It washes it down. It does whatever it does. I'm not sure exactly.
Have you ever done one of those hot potato chip challenges?
No. I mean, okay. Where you have to eat the hottest potato chip you can tolerate?
There was a brand, I think it's pronounced Packy, P-A-C-Q-U-I, something like that.
Right.
But they sell a single chip that's, you know, like a million on the Scoville, you know, hotness
scale. So you get a package and it's got one chip in it?
It has one chip in it. And the challenge is to
eat
this entire chip and go, I think, maybe 10 minutes or something without having to drink water or...
and you can, like a terrible idea.
You can look for that on YouTube. You can just look for any kind of hot food challenge for
that.
Do you
get any money?
No.
Then what's the point? No, I mean, you can go to a sports bar and enter their hot wings contest around, you know, on the Super Bowl. Somebody will have a hot wings contest. And you can probably win some swag or win some prize money or something for eating something that hot. And, you know, because that'll affect you for not just immediately, but also there's a reaction that, you know, down the road.
Yeah. Yeah, down the road. Yeah.
I made a mistake of cutting a jalapeno and not washing my hands before I went to the bathroom. And
wow.
That's a one and done. You only make that mistake once in life.
Yeah, we'll just visualizing that.
You have to be very careful.
How did that go?
As some comedian that I interviewed, I think as I've done it, and I realized my mistake, you know, I realized that was a mistake. And I remembered that some comedian, I think it was it Carlos Mencia? Is he the one that he's very pleasant and very funny, but other comedians hate him? I think it's Carlos Mencia. He had made a joke about basically that same thing, and then I found myself accidentally doing it. I'm like, I am so stupid. I was warned.
You were warned.
By Carlos Mencia about this. I didn't apply it to my own life.
So wash your hands between handling the jalapenos and doing your business.
Absolutely. Yeah, and touching anything. You don't want to touch your eyes. You don't want to touch your nose. True. You don't want to touch any sensitive areas is what it ultimately boils down to.
Ah, oh, boy.
So I've got a couple of MC gigs coming up in April.
Okay.
And I'm hoping to keep my streak alive of appearing in VIP Knoxville magazine.
Okay.
Because I was in, well, back in the fall, I put up, I was at the Go Contemporary Dance Works Gala wearing a kind of pirate outfit. And they put me in the magazine. Well, I MC'd, let me see if I can reach it over here. I MC'd the Marble City Opera Gala.
Okay.
And Megan Venable from the magazine came over. And so here's all these fancy people, and I'm over here. And you can see I've even got the same microphone. This microphone that I'm wearing here,
I
wore because I was the MC. And my friend Catherine, this is Catherine, mm-hmm. She says, "Hey, can you bring your microphones?" And we plug them into our sound system. So here it is on page 92 of the March issue of VIP Knoxville.
There's Frank.
There with David Crawford, the opera singer. "You know, Frank, opera's not the day that nothing happened." I'm like, yeah. So that's that was the March issue. Then I was at the beginning of March, I was at a concert at my church. The Brian Selesky and his wife was conducting. His wife, Diana Selesky, created the Amadeus Chamber Ensemble. So she created it. He works basically for her as the conductor sometimes. And they put on this amazing program. And Megan Venable was there taking pictures. So I got my picture made. I'm hoping now that I'll turn up in the April issue.
Okay. So and how long has this been going on? Is this a streak?
Well, I think I'm starting a new streak because I don't remember what month I was in for Go. So this might be March, might be number one. If I'm in for the church concert, the cathedral concert series, that's number two. Then on April 13th at the Cherokee Country Club.
Okay.
I don't know if you can read this, but that's me.
Yeah.
It's very fancy calligraphic. Script. You see Heather Wallaga and Frank Murphy. I think they only wanted me to do it so they could get to Heather, but it's okay. I accept that because she's beautiful and lovely and pleasant. And they're like, "Hey, do you have Heather's number?" I'm like, "Yeah."
So
that's a joke.
They have casino night at Cherokee Country Club, and
I'm not really sure. This is a particular thing as a fundraiser for the Interfaith Health Center.
Okay.
So I think what happens is, people come to it, and I'll introduce some speakers who'll talk about why you should donate to Interfaith Health Center, and people will donate money, and they'll have a nice dinner. And then at the end, they go in the other room, and there'll be gaming tables set up, and everybody gets play money, and that's it. The end. I mean, you could win all the play money, and nothing happens to you. You don't get a prize, nothing. You played for the sake of playing.
Yeah.
So, but people enjoy it. And last year they had Russell Bibben and Beth Haynes emceeing it. I'm like, I don't know why they couldn't get them back, but it fell to me.
that sounds like it could be fun.
Yeah, so I'm getting a tuxedo from the folks over at Prestige. I said, ask them if they would be so gracious as to, they're very kind, Prestige Tuxedo. I said, would you guys donate a tux rental so I can do this gig? And they said, of course we can. So that's April 13th, and then April 19th. I'm pretty sure. I am doing the Friends of Literacy has a gala every year, the East Tennessee Writers Hall of Fame gala, wow, awards gala, and I'll MC that one again.
So you stay busy with all the MC stuff.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, there's certain, it comes in waves. You know, certain times of the year, like in the fall, there's a lot, and in the spring, there's a lot, but not so much in the dead of winter or in the heat of the summer. Right. Yeah, occasionally there's one or two here, like the Carnes Fairest of the Fairs, and usually the hottest day of July. Yeah, but yeah, that's so maybe I'll be in the magazine for some of those. And then I got invited, not to even MC, but just actually go to a reception for the dedication of the new organ at church. And they're going to have, they invited people who are affiliated with arts organizations. So I'm affiliated with Marble City Opera. So I got invited.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Nice.
So I'll see if I make sure I should ask. I have to call Glenn and say, "Hey, did you invite VIP Knoxville Magazine?" I'm trying to keep my streak alive.
That's your only motivation at
sure,
this point.
Sure, why not?
Just get in the magazine. I wasn't familiar with that publication.
Oh well, it's not bad. It's got usually it's there was a section like a in the newspaper. It used to be a People and Parties section in the newspaper, and I think Gay Lyons would write the column and do the pictures. So she was the original, I think, the first original editor of this.
Okay.
And then she has since retired and passed it on.
So it's lots of pictures and articles of pretty and wealthy Knoxvillians.
Yeah, and sometimes I'm in there. But, you know, so they go to these parties, and the whole thing is, yeah, it's just a bunch of pictures and names.
Yeah.
You know, the stories are really just... they're barely stories. I mean, they barely tell you anything. But like, if I were to look at this one, this is Knoxville Catholic High School. So I didn't go to this party, but I can look through this and go, oh, I know them. I know them. I know them. And then if you're like, I don't know, whatever club you're in, there's probably a page.
It's kind of like the printed version of Facebook a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Like here's Lady Vols Boosters. Here's, what's this one? Mardi Gras Jazz Brunch. So, I don't even know. They had it. Oh, it's at somebody's house. It must have been for some benefit for something. The Knoxville Symphony League. Ooh. So when I usually have, when they have like the musicians, I'll recognize them. But if you want to look at it, I'm happy to let you see it.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I'm going to ask about before we go also involves pictures of me and it's vanity. So this is, I have obviously a problem with vanity because here I am trying to sit up straight and trying to look good on TV and all the things. But I love my wife very dearly, and she helps me pick out my clothes for the Scholars Bowl show. Not only does she help me put the questions together, she'll, you know, I'll give her a pile of questions and say, try to fit them in this order so we don't put the, so mix up the math and science with the arts and literature type questions, right? And so we've got that all figured out. She'll work on that so hard. But then she'll also make a spreadsheet with my outfits, telling me what to wear.
Wow.
And I take a picture right before every episode. I take a selfie, and I say to everyone in the room, and they get tired of hearing it, but I say it 62 times. I say, hang on, I got to take a selfie for the wardrobe department. And my wife is the wardrobe department, right, but I take the selfie for her. So I don't know what to do with them. I mean, I just have them. But this year...
You should send them to VIP Knoxville. Just let them run a whole spread of... Okay.
That's funny. Here's Frank Murphy's outfits for Scholars Bowl.
They make it hard up one month and say, yeah, okay, we'll do the Frank Murphy idea. Let's do it. Okay.
No, it's great. So what I've done, though, this year is I've shared... PBS puts out a Facebook post every day at noon, every weekday at noon, saying, here are the teams that are on Scholars Bowl today. And it's a picture of the two teams that we have the teams pose for. So they'll be posing for their picture, and we'll say, okay, this is for Facebook, and also it's going to be the thumbnail when the episode eventually goes online.
Okay.
So while they're doing that, I'll say, well, while you're doing that, I'm going to take a selfie for the wardrobe department. What I did this year is every time they posted the episode, I shared it, and then made a comment where I put in a picture that said, here's my selfie for the wardrobe department. So most people aren't going to see it because it's in the comments.
Right.
And my wife will see it because it amuses her. But one of my pals sent me a note. He says, why are you doing this? What is wrong with you? why? Who cares what you're wearing? And it got to me. It got in my head. I'm thinking, I know he's right.
Right.
So talk me through this, Mitch. I'm trying to figure out. I mean, at this point in the season, I can't stop. I got to keep the streak alive.
Oh,
I got to take it all the way to
of
the
course,
end.
Of course, yes.
But this was pretty early on where he's saying, why are you posting pictures of yourself when it's not, the show's not about you. The show's about the kids. I'm like, I know that. But I want to, I like what I was wearing that day. I don't know what else to do with the pictures. So I'll just put them in the comments of this Facebook so that, you know, if someone were to click on it, they'd see, oh, look, that's a nice tie that his wife picked out for him.
Yeah. That's, yeah, who cares? I mean,
not yeah. everybody gets the joke, I guess, that the wardrobe department is my wife.
It's just one person. Is,
yeah,
right,
that's,
right.
That's the joke. That's the inside joke between Jerry and me.
Yeah.
And the kids on the show have started to figure that out.
Yeah.
To the point where I fell into the trap. The kids from Science Hill High School had one of their three teams. They win a game, and they always have some kind of coordinated team intro where they're like, they did this bit where I think the most overrated person is Thomas Jefferson. And another one says, I think the most overrated person is, I forget, I think they're their coach for their squad. And one says, I think the most overrated person is Frank Murphy. And I'm like, okay, this is funny. So they like to play, they tease me about this kind of stuff. Well, this team wins. They're like, oh, what? They're huddling amongst each other trying to figure out what they're going to say because they're going to come back in half an hour and film another episode, which won't be shown till weeks later, but they're going to film it. I'm walking through to go to the upstairs bathroom so I can change my ties, change my jacket, change whatever, and just, you know, be separate for a few minutes. And they're asking me, which tie is that? I'm like, oh, this one, this is the one, I call this one the wedding tie because I wore it to my daughter's wedding 10 years ago, and now I'm changing into this one that my sister gave me 30 years ago when she worked at some fancy store on Fifth Avenue. I'm like, okay. So I don't even know why they care until the episode starts, and each of them has a, my favorite Frank Murphy tie would be his blue and yellow wedding tie. My favorite Frank Murphy tie, okay. And they all had one specifically
wow.
picked out.
Wow.
So it was funny. So I thought it's even another reason why in my vanity I could post the wardrobe selfies that match up with each of the episodes.
That's perfectly, yeah, that's... It's just a little glimpse into your neuroses.
Yes,
but
it's a peek behind the scenes of what actually happens before we start the episode, you know?
Yeah.
I guess. I hope it's funny.
I think it's funny. I think it's a funny concept, even if, you know, nobody else knows about it.
All right, so now I have a question before we wrap. You had some things that you wanted to adjust and you wanted to tweak. And
yes.
I'm assuming that you've done those.
I've been sitting. I haven't cared about whether I'm sitting up straight or not. I've just been just sitting willy-nilly.
Okay. Well, it's hard. That's one of the tricks I teach the kids on Scholars Bowl is sit up so straight that it kind of hurts because then you look more two-dimensional. You know, if you slouch in like they like to do, I said it looks exaggerated on camera. Or if you lean back, it looks exaggerated on camera. But if you can just kind of maintain your two-dimensional plane, it just comes on TV, looks just non-noticeable. And they want to tell
that's
the kids.
That's what you want.
When
yeah.
I tell the kids, if you just do nothing with your hands or just sit up straight, it'll look normal and no one will notice anything. They're like, that's what they want. They're like, okay. You know, because that's, you know, they're all self-conscious. We all are. Well, have you accomplished those goals to the point where you're never coming back? Or...
No, I'll screw up new stuff to fix, Frank. I've done all kinds of stuff today. I'm like, oh, why did I say that?
Because I'm thinking, all right, now that Mitch has had pitched the perfect game over here, I'm never going to see him again.
No, not by any means. No, I will definitely come back.
Well, good. Well, you're invited. You know the trick now. You just text me and say, hey, I'm going
to
be
having lunch somewhere, and I need to somewhere to keep my leftovers
for about an hour.
For an hour before I head back to Maribel. That's the ugly truth here, Frank, is I'm using you for your refrigeration. Let it be known. That secret's out.
Well, I accept all of that.
Yeah,
that is absolutely fantastic. If you enjoy Audible, the audiobook service, audibletrial.com gives you a chance to check it out. If you've never have, go to audibletrial.com/frankandfriendshow to get a free 30-day premium membership to try... Yeah, Frank. In fact, you know what you could listen to? In fact, Mitch, you should do this. You should go to audibletrial.com/frankandfriendshow and get the book Frankenstein, which although you've recently read it, you could listen to it with a new appreciation. or any other book you can imagine. They've got 300 years worth of audiobooks and so many new ones always coming out. whatever the hot new thing is. And if there's one that you're particularly fond of, or you just know that you're going to be out of cell range, you can download an MP3 every month. You get one credit for an MP3 download every month, and you can actually bank those. Some of the books are so big, you might need two or three credits. Well, you just bank them, and at the end of the two or three months, you download whatever it is you want and keep it forever. That's one per month while you're paying as a Premier membership. First month, absolutely free. It's on us, and try it out. Meanwhile, our merchandise, next time you're here, I guess we'll drink water out of pint glasses. Yes. And the next time Catherine Frady's here, we'll be drinking hard cider out of these same pint glasses, because that's what she and I have going. That's another, I've told this story a dozen times, but you should know the context of it, is we'll go out to a dinner, Catherine and her husband and Jerry and me, my wife and me. And the way we'll sit, for whatever reason, it's like I'm across from James and Jerry's across from Catherine, and we're in this booth. And James and my wife both order iced tea, unsweetened iced tea. And Frady is looking at me like, what are you going to get? And what are you going to get? I'm like, I don't know if I get water or coffee. She's like, no, what are you going to get? And I was like, she says, I was thinking about getting a hard cider. I'm like, well, okay, if she's getting a hard cider, then I'll...
Oh, okay.
I have to also get one.
Yeah.
I don't have to, but if I don't, she won't, and if she doesn't, I won't, so...
Right.
It's kind of weird.
She needed a cider buddy.
Because her husband's not that, and my wife is not mine.
Right.
So, that's funny, but that's what we'll do. So, we'll get some good hard cider and nice pint glasses, which you should buy at frankandfriendsshow.com/store. All righty. Thanks, Mitch.
Thank you.
Anything else?
No.
All right. I already thought of the title for this episode as soon... Actually, I thought of it before you even said you wanted to come back. I already knew what the title of the episode is going to be.
Okay. What's that?
The Mitch is Back.
Oh, my gosh.
This is the Frank and Friends Show. I'm Frank Murphy.
I'm Mitch Moore.
And we'll talk to you again next time.